Welcome to the Mosh Pit, your home for unsigned punk, rock, and metal artists, where your music goes to be heard.
Ryan, Prisoner of Fate.
And so, but yeah, and so like, you know, not, and not all the sound people are really like any of these people, like all these other examples that I've given, like have to be musicians either. Like that's, and that's the cool thing about the music industry. Like I'm not a musician or anything like that, but I've sort of found a position in the music industry where I can like apply sort of the skills that I innately have or whatever into, and so that, and sort of like mold that into becoming like an asset for like the music industry and stuff like that. Yeah. So you know, if you're not a musician, like it doesn't necessarily mean you can't be a part of music community and everything like that. If you have a skill like with organization or communication or art or technology, or you know, like maybe you just have an innate ability for working on guitars, even though you don't practice them yourself. Like you could be someone who fixes guitars,
yeah.
Or like, you know, even being like a driver, like is a thing. Like, you know, being a bus driver, being the driver who like, you know, for the big tour bus and stuff like that. There's even a demand and market for that in the music industry. So if you just want to like have a more alternative life and like, you know, just be a driver for bands, like that's something you can look into as well. So it's really cool, like seeing like you don't have to be just a musician or anything like that to you know, be a part of the music industry and everything like that. And also, like, I don't have any like formal education or formal like background in the music industry. I was just a kid going to like shows and stuff like that, and wanted to like, I thought it'd be cool to like start creating, you know, taking those experiences, creating them into, you know, creating those experiences my own and sort of giving back that sort of like experience to other kids that I sort of like felt myself like going to those shows. So, I had no idea about like, you know, I had no idea what, like a door split or a guarantee or like what a ride or anything like that, any of that stuff was. So, you know, so it's definitely really cool to like see all the stuff like that. And it's, you know, it's definitely my like, you know, favorite form of entertainment is going to live music and stuff like that. I'm a big sports fan too, but like really going to like concerts and going to experience in live music almost no matter where it is, like it has become like, you know, sort of my main hobby and stuff like that. And it's also cool just like, you know, comparing it to like the other, you know, sort of like cousin forms of entertainment, stuff like that, because like the film industry, that's another big form of entertainment, but like that one is like, you know, a completely different ball game from the music industry and stuff like that. And really if you think about it, I guess you know, for a completely different tangent, you know, you got the three like sort of like sections of entertainment. You got like music, you got film, and you got like sports and stuff like that. And really, like, I've noticed that kind of like, you know, music is sort of like on the lower end of those three. Obviously, the sport, I feel like, you know, whether you like sports or not, it doesn't matter if you like it, do or don't, but sports are like the biggest form of entertainment in the U.S., if not the entire world. You know, like Truist Park where the Braves compete, like that's like a 40,000 cap venue. I think it's like 41 and change or something like that. So a slow night for them would be like 5,000 people, but 5,000 people sells out pretty much everything Roxy and smaller in Georgia. Yeah. So you know, so it's just crazy to kind of like take, you know, like see how popular sports is and stuff like that. And like, you know, again, another example is like last year, like COVID sort of like, you know, took out the whole music industry and stuff like that. But the NFL did not cancel a single game last year. They ended up having games on like Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays and stuff like that, or like Fridays or whatnot on days they normally don't. But the NFL managed to go the entire COVID quarantine process or whatever in the fall when things were most like questionable without canceling a single game, because like, you know, that's just how powerful sports are. And granted, you know, the NFL is a billion-dollar entity and stuff like that. So they also had all that kind of money and flexibility to sort of like be able to push things a little further than what they could have, and you know, still get away with it and whatnot. Right. So, you know, just kind of watching that, I was like, wow, it must be nice to be in the NFL right now. Like, they don't have to slow down. You know, they were able to do the draft like virtually. They were able to, you know, they couldn't do preseason stuff like that, but they were able to like, you know, be able to maintain and do most of the things they were able to do without really like, you know, having to slow down or cancel any games and stuff like that. Where, you know, like the first week or so, like when COVID and stuff like getting bad, like I had probably about 125 like unread emails just of like, this one's canceled, this one's canceled, this one canceled, this one canceled, so on and so forth. And I was just like, it got a point where I got tired of like opening them. I just let them build up because I was like, it was just like a nightmare to see. Yeah. And I think at one point, I think the final number before I was like, all right, I'm like turning off my notifications and stuff like that. I was like, it was like 125. So I was like, good Lord.
So it's just like, everything's canceled.
Yeah.
I'm going to bed.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, with like movies and stuff like that, they were also able to start a little sooner than the music industry was. They were probably like bare minimum staff or people staffed or whatever, but you know, they were able to you know, pick back up a lot sooner and get things rolling and stuff like that. A lot of people that I know from like the music industry, kind of moved over to the film industry, and they're doing fantastic now, yeah. You know, but because like there's just all there's always like the film industry has always had like more you know, just has been more lucrative in the grand yeah. scheme of things with like
I,
you know,
I feel like they have more outlets,
yeah,
because mm-hmm. a lot of the videos, the movie industry itself, they started streaming everything, which really, when you think about it, it could be done for a concert. And I mean, you remember back in the days of pay-per-view, you could buy a whatever concert was on whatever they
right.
were playing, but it's just not that same feel, especially
yeah,
if you don't have surround sound.
It's just something super lacking when, like, trying to, like, I did, like, buy a couple online streams. There was a couple of bands, like, Dance Gavin Dance and Pup and mm-hmm. A couple other bands here and there that, like, I got tickets to see, like, their live stream for. And it was fun. It was like, kind of like watching a movie, but at the same time, like, it was a far cry and shot from, like, watching yeah. an actual concert because, like, you know, I saw Paris last night, and it just feeling like the bass, and just feeling like having the lights, and feeling like the energy, and hearing the screaming and stuff like that from all the thousand people that were there. It's just like nothing tops like being at a live concert and everything
right.
like that.
And the atmosphere too. I mean, it's yeah. one thing to watch a live concert on your TV from your couch. It's a completely different experience to do it from the pit or anywhere else.
Yeah.
On the floor where you're this close to a musician and you're like
sports
yeah.
kind of have that good balance because going to baseball games is like a whole like feel a whole
yes.
atmosphere a whole and you know
I
kind
can't
of
watch
like
baseball on TV that
yeah
is
I, yeah bored. But like watching on TV it's definitely can be a little more grueling. You gotta deal with commercials and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
I usually don't start really watching baseball regularly on TV until it gets about to the postseason too, because just because there are
yeah.
So many games going on at a single time and stuff like that, it's hard to keep up with.
Yeah.
But football, like I can be at a game, I can watch it on TV. Movies, like when I go to theaters, I go like on the middle of a weekday when no one's there. But
yes.
you know, like I
yeah.
can go to a theater and watch it there and watch it at home and still like you know sort of get the same experience. But it just doesn't work that way, at least for me, with like music and stuff like that. You like you like have to be there and stuff like that. It just adds more to the experience and stuff like that. You can't get the full thrill of like what it means like to be at a concert by watching it on your you know on
yeah.
your couch.
Oh yeah. Now, one thing we did do, which was kind of fun, but it was mainly because it was more geared toward, like, whoever was putting it on. We did live streams for some of our bands. They actually took over our Facebook
yeah.
page and did live streams throughout 2020 where nobody could go do anything, but they're like,
right.
hey, we want to play. I'm like, here,
yeah.
be an admin. Take over my page.
Yeah.
You can still reach your audience. You not only do you reach your audience, you reach a whole new audience because you're under my platform.
Right.
And you're also bringing your audience to me. So it's, you know.
There is room for that stuff. That, like,
yeah.
I would love to have, like, a live stream sort of series and stuff like that going on. To,
oh,
like,
yeah.
sort of, like, you know, when they don't have a show on their calendar, you can kind of pull them up and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, trying to, basically that ran before was more, like, in terms of, like, trying to, like, replace a
yeah.
concert with, like,
replacing,
a live stream or whatever.
No,
but there definitely is a room for
fill
live streams.
In.
They do have their benefits and stuff
yeah.
like that. Because, like, again, if they're a band that doesn't, like, actively perform, they could, like, make, like, an online thing.
Mm-hmm.
And someone or anyone all over the country, all over the world can, like, find that on YouTube or whatever and
right.
become a fan of that band and hopefully build their demand for when there are more shows on the calendar and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. So,
exactly.
yeah, so there's definitely room for it, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, it could definitely never replace that sort of full sensation you can get from being at a live music concert. So
yeah, definitely no replacing. But you know, that we tend to look at like the negative side of COVID, but there were some positives. I mean, you had a ton of people off the road for what, 2 months, three
yeah,
months there.
Yeah.
I mean, you're cutting down on the drive time because everybody loves driving in Atlanta.
True.
You're cutting down on needless people in offices watching emails when they can do it from their couch as long as they're still doing their job.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it really pushed the standard of what we have been expected for 20 years, honestly. I mean, we've had this technology for a while now.
Right.
And it sucks that it took a full pandemic to actually go, hey, maybe we should start letting our people work from home and do things. But,
yeah,
you know.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Who would have thought it'd be more efficient that people don't have to drive an hour to work? You know, crazy.
So in the hour they're driving to work, he made 4 phone calls.
The Prods, Wish I Was Dead.
Get off! on the sea front. I'm wishing I was dead, suffering now on the sea front. And I cannot pretend I care. It's spitting now, it's spitting now, it's turned. It's spitting now, it's spitting now, it's turned. All the screaming children, all the peeling buildings, the sticky litter, it makes me bitter. It's all conspiracy, there's only misery. The stench of onions, bastard peer. Suffering now on the seafront, I'm wishing I was dead. Suffering now on the seafront, and I will not pretend it's fun. I won't pretend it's fun. The cognitive dissonance has won. All the screaming children, she was dead. All the peeling buildings, she was dead. The punching Judy, she was dead. It's got me moody, she was dead. Kiss me quick, she was dead. Make a wish, I wish I was dead. The broken donkeys, our B&B.
Only the sea.
Maybe we should let him stay home.
Yeah, absolutely. He's actually getting stuff done because he don't have to worry about like sitting in traffic and what time he's got to leave. You can be like, oh, well, my commute's from my bed to the couch or bed to the home office or whatever, you know. So
he's not sleeping at his desk anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you got to look at the positives. And I feel so strong about the next coming years of things are going to pick up. Things are going to go back to normal. I'm going to say normal. I'm going to say the new normal. I'm going to say normal.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, as long as everyone can like basically come together and sort of do what they're supposed to in order, not only for like something, you know, that goes a little further than themselves, then, I think, you know, we can take this sort of newfound demand and like of going to live music and stuff like that. And if it can be like curated properly and be smart about like the whens and the with whos and the wheres of performance and stuff like that.
Right.
I don't think it'll just be like a post-pandemic demand, quote unquote. I think it'd be something that could last forever and ever because like it has been fantastic to see independent bands like that, you know, would struggle bringing like, you know, 50 people to shows or like selling out like 300 cap rooms and stuff like that. So it is really cool. Yeah. And I do think if it can be catered properly and bands can be like, you know, more meticulous and more like, you know, more meticulous about like, you know, when the wins and again, all the things that go and like the things to consider about booking and stuff like that, then, you know, I definitely think that we'll start to see like bands start to grow more exponentially and hopefully you have more bands from Georgia, like, you know, be out on the road, like when, you know, full touring is really, really like,
Because we've got some killer bands here in Atlanta.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I think me and you've worked with about most of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to, man. I'm looking forward to new stuff, new music, even new bands, because I know a couple of bands didn't make it through the pandemic.
Right.
No, they didn't. You know, that's just part of life. They probably wouldn't have made it anyway because hotheads, a lot of times, they're going to butt heads, but when bands break up, it always gives me a good feeling of, okay, well, those are two really talented people. I'm going to have really two bands that I'm going to be able to promote.
Yeah, or maybe those two talented people join like an already established band that are missing some people, and that band becomes even stronger. Uh-huh. I've seen that happen too. So it is part of it, but like, you know, the musicians that are really like in it to win it and dedicated and like, I want this to be a career, like when one of the bands breaks up, like, you know, it's not the end of the world. There's a handful of people, like when I hear like when their project ends, I'm like, well, I know who you are, and I know how it kind of work and that kind of thing, and I know this is in the end for you. This was just like one chapter that came to a close and stuff like that. Yep. And you know, sometimes it is for the better to like take sort of like an entity that hasn't really had any steam or anything going on, kind of close that chapter, still maintain maybe like the foundation of the people,
right,
maybe the foundation of the music and stuff like that. But you know, like
start over, do
a rebrand, do like a sort of like a renew sort of thing and stuff like that, because sometimes it's easier, sometimes a lot of that stuff ends up working out than trying to like carry along a dead horse, something like that, you know?
and a lot of times I've seen bands who have broken up, and you know, there's so many members, they'll form like three different
bands yeah,
and then they all go on tour together, and I'm like that's the one I want
to
go see.
Yep. And then they take all the stuff they learned from those prior experiences, bring it to the new ones. They know like, okay, well, we know all the no's now, so we know all the we know to not do all these don'ts. And so we take all the do's that we can, that we know that do work, and that way, you know, we get more like we can start off like get more steam and kind of start off like get and surpass the point where we were with the old project, basically.
Right.
So
yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, I'm
hopeful. I love rebands. Rebands get me excited. So like, you know, when I hear a band like kind of restarting over, like kind of doing something new, I'm like, cool. Let me help you. I'm happy to you know, be an asset for you guys. You know, because I love this community. It's such a strong community. There's so many good bands that, you know, and there's even a handful where I'm like, I honestly don't know what I can do for you, because like you're just at that point where it's just literally just a matter of time, or that one more show, or that one more song, or whatever. But you know, as far as the bands that maybe are like a step or two or three behind that, like, you know, that's where I'm like, let me help you. Like, I love this community. It's so strong. There's so much talent. There's so much like dedication and passion that I just want to be a part of it in whatever, you know, capacity that I can be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what this community needs. We need more people like you who are willing to help these bands, not the ones who are like, well, you're just a band. Yeah. You'll never make this. I mean, look, I'm going to plug myself for a minute because it's my podcast.
Go for it.
So I started this thing where I started getting in touch with the colleges and the high schools. I've started an internship through this podcast of bringing on kids, young adults who want to learn the stuff, but the things that aren't offered, you know, in school. This stuff wasn't offered to me in school. There was no way. I didn't pick this stuff up in school. I probably wouldn't have done it anyway, but that's neither here nor there. but it was not offered. I mean, we had an AV class, and it just didn't really do that. You didn't do this. Of course, this wasn't really, if you wanted to go into radio, you went into radio. You know, it wasn't until a few years ago that really podcasts were something that people were like, oh, I got to listen to that.
Yeah. Even I got into podcasts a little bit over quarantine. It's not my first choice of like entertainment, but you know, it is fun to hear like, you know, certain people talk and kind of hear what they say and kind of hear them like a more like casual sort of thing. Because again, like, you know, I feel like some people may have like a certain impression of me, and not like in a bad way, but they kind of like associate maybe like one or two things. Yeah. But like, it's outlets like these that they can kind of hear like my tone and sort of hear like how I talk and how I like actually care about it. Because like a lot of times I'll run into issues where like our only communication is like over email or over like DM on stuff like that, and like I'll get like really like, you know, not like passionate, just really get like really excited about something and kind of give like these long messages about like hints and advice and stuff like that. And I feel like, you know, in the bands who don't know me as well kind of think that I'm scolding. I'm like, no, I'm not here to do that. Like, I'm with you guys. Like, all of this is to help you make your lives easier and things to consider, because like I've seen it work for this and this, and I haven't seen it work for this and this. So like, you know, I'm just trying to like, you know, and that's why like if I feel like I start, that's why like, when I start to feel that way, like I'll try and like go to one of the shows and meet them in person or something like that, and kind of build like that sort of face-to-face sort of connection, stuff like that. But you know, whenever I can't get that, hopefully, like, you know, talks like these and platforms like these, like that I, you know, end up getting on, can sort of show people sort of like a, you know, sort of how I really am and sort of how I talk and sort of how I like, you know, see, you know, sort of they can see like my perspective on like, you know, sort of what I've seen in the music industry and stuff like that. So
it's advice of, here were the stumbling blocks that I ran into. Let me show you how to get around those so you get further than I did, quicker.
Exactly. Because nowadays, really, like with the whole like, you know, trying to like expand and sort of see like what other options may be like residing out there for me and everything like that, pretty much everything that I do like for bands, whether it's like, you know, get them an opening show or do one of my own like Joe Warren Presents show or like do like a house show with them or, you know, promote their music or send whatever it is that involves like me sort of like hands-on working with them. Like I do it for them. Like, it's not for any particular person or any particular like space or venue or any particular like company or like even for me, like it makes me feel good like when I'm able to help other people like succeed and, you know, further pursue their dreams and stuff like that. But basically everything I do, all the advice I give, all the shows that I give out and all the shows I put together and stuff like that are really for the band and stuff like that. Like I make sure it's the best, we get the best result possible so they can get some money in their pockets in order so they can like further fund the band and stuff like that. Like every that's one thing I definitely want to like stress when I do like work with someone new or like, you know, they are like starting to get to know me or like, you know, work with me for the first time, is that a lot of things that I do and like all like the you know, all the things that I do for them are like for them. And like if I'm just like getting like really like worked up or emotional or something about it, it's really just because I care, you know. Like if I didn't care, I could easily just be like, eh, whatever. But you know, it's because I care, it's because I like and I do get concerned and do want said band to like succeed or thrive or whatever. It's like that's why I get like so like worked up and start going on like the tangents of like advice and, you know, consider X, Y, and Z and A, B, and C and stuff like that. So
yeah, that makes perfect sense, man. I mean, you know, you have to. It's good to meet people like that who actually care about the bands because you've met. I guess it's because. I mean, some people, you know, they get that chip on their shoulder of, you know, I was in a band and I never made it that far. So you shouldn't be allowed to make it that far.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That's a horrible, horrible. You were put here to show the next generation how to get through what you failed to get through, if you failed to get through it, or even if you stumbled.
Definitely a very toxic mindset to have. So yeah. I luckily don't know many two people that are like that, but I'm sure like probably back in the day or maybe like older times or older people like kind of have that sort of mindset for whatever, you know, universe knows reason or whatever. So, you know, bless their hearts. But luckily the community that we have here in Georgia is very like very supportive. It's very integrated. It's very like deep rooted and everything like that. Like, you know, even though some of the bands nowadays are like debuting their songs or having their debut shows and stuff like that, members in those bands have been in this community for like 10 plus years and stuff like that. So while that specific entity is new, really they have 10 plus years of experience that kind of go into what, you know, into that have been like kind of funneling into the success that they've been finding like right now. So
And these bands that we have around here now, I mean, they are serious about helping and building.
Absolutely.
I mean, if there's, you know, if one of the bands gets sick and they have to drop out, these guys will call up, you know, hey, I know you're looking for some spots and I know you need some more gigs. Get on board. Come on. Let's do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And you know, they'll be like, oh, we've been a band for, you know, we've only been a band for X many months or maybe like 1 year or something like that. Yeah. But I'm like, well, again, really, you've been in this community for like 10 plus years and doing your due diligence and your trials and errors and your revolving door members and stuff like that. So, you know, like really, like it's no, as someone from the outside kind of looking in, like it's no surprise to me. Like it's all been like deserved. It's all been earned toward this point. But sometimes it just kind of takes that many years to like get to that point. And that's one thing, you know, a lot of young bands need to understand is like, you know, there really aren't any overnight successes in the music industry. It takes time, it takes work and diligence and, you know, trial and error and just persistence and consistency and stuff like that. So I mean, you know, you would like to think that you can like, you know, get to a point where you're headlining Coachella in a year and stuff like that, but it just doesn't work that way. Even the artists that you think may be like overnight successes have had some sort of like, you know, story before that point that like, you know, kind of just gets overshadowed or something like that, but kind of shows that they've been like, you know, that they did the small dive bars and they sold the tickets and they, you know, had to do all the DIY stuff in order to get to that point. But you know, usually a lot of times when you get to that point, all that kind of history kind of gets like sort of vaulted or whatever, gets put in behind the vault. You don't really get to see or hear it unless you really, really like get in tap to it or something like that. But a lot of the bands in the Warped Tour rock circuit that I listened to took years and years to like, you know, get to the point where they were like on the main stage of Warped Tour and then headlining like the Heaven stage and like Tabernacle and stuff like that. So you know, it takes time and effort, but like, you know, you have these innate abilities that the universe has given you and stuff like that. So, and a lot of people, you know, unfortunately don't have that or will never be able to like achieve that ability. So like, I don't see why you can't take that and try and make something out of it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why like I am so attracted to that sort of like ability, because it's an ability that not a lot of people have. But I feel like, you know, even though I'm not a musician myself, I can like help with all the other sort of like things that go into the, you know, that go outside of writing, recording, performing and stuff like that, and really make the writing, recording, performing stuff like more of something that people are going to want to like be a part of.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, that was another thing that I may have mentioned this before, but Did you happen to look at the Shaky Knees Festival?
I did. Yeah, incredible lineup.
Great lineup, right?
Incredible.
Did you happen to read the comments under those when they first posted it?
I try not to, because
that's good advice.
music, like, you know, really any like music festival, like, you know, comment section is going to have like all those out of touch folks and all those like smooth brain people who don't know like how the world works and stuff like that. So, you know, I do sometimes look at them and I just end up stopping and really just getting a headache or really just getting mad at people and stuff like that. But, So, you know, I know it goes on there, but I didn't look at those specific ones, but I do know how they kind of work out and be like, oh, this festival sucks. You'd be so much better. Yep. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like,
yep. It
leaves me speechless.
It was right when they posted it, so it only had, you know, a handful, maybe 50 comments.
Sure.
And I was like, okay, let me see what they're saying, because I was looking through there and I recognized a few names as being, you know, not the big guys. They were the up and comers, the guys who, you know, paid their dues and now they're getting a spot.
Yeah.
And dude, the comments were exactly what you thought they would be. The only good people on this are Ancient with Alice Cooper and Stevie Nicks. Who are all these other nobodies on here? Why'd you put a show of nobodies? Nobody's going to go see that. And I'm like,
well, maybe if you left your house or, you know, like, exactly. Stop listening to just 97.1 The River, like, you can, like, find other artists that are actually talented and up and coming.
Oh, man, dude. And see, that takes me back to when I first started this podcast. The one thing that we did, we would follow Reverb Nation.
Venon, Above the Stars.
All the whales on the sun bay. All along I wandering. All the faces look the same. Out of family here again.
if that tells you anything.
Yeah.
So we would follow Reverb Nation, and we'd find, you know, we would just see what local shows were up, wherever they were within, you know, a decent driving distance. And I'm like, dude, they're a metal band. They're a rock band. They're a punk band. Let's go see them. I'd listen to one song, and I'd go, that's pretty good. Let's go see them. And do you know how many times that I would go for the headliner, and it would be that opening act that catches my eye that I'm like,
I'm
giving them a business card. This is a headliner here.
Yeah.
He's good, but that opener should have been on main stage.
Yeah, I've seen that plenty of times too. And then, but then it's really cool, like when, like, you know, 3-4 years down that road, like that opener does become like the headliner and stuff like that. So, so the band I saw last night, Paris, they used to be like one of fours on tours and stuff like that, opening for bands that don't exist anymore. And now they're selling out, you know, heaven sized rooms and stuff like that on their own with one opener. So I'm like, hell yeah, that's what's up. That's the way it should be. Like,
I love that.
Yeah. So, you know, and then that's the thing, like, you know, there really is no difference between like a national band and a local band, literally, right, as far as like performance and talent and all that kind of stuff goes. Literally the only difference is one has money, you know, kind of like funneling into them, and so they're able to like afford more luxurious sort of like opportunities and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then they just also happen to have like 10, 15, 20 years more like experience performing and stuff like that. So, you know, they're already further down the road. So that's like the only real difference. Cause like I've been to plenty of shows that are just like all Georgia band shows and stuff like that. And they're just as fun, as just as exciting and just as fulfilling as like, you know, like your biggest artist you can think of, insert whatever name you want, you know? So,
yeah,
you know, that's definitely one thing that I have learned is like, there really is no difference between a quote unquote local show and a quote unquote national show. Mm-hmm. They're literally the same fucking thing. It's just, you know, again, the smaller bands just don't have all that kind of money and all that label money and all that kind of stuff flowing into them in order to afford, you know, more quality stuff.
Can I tell the story about seeing Saving Abel?
Yes.
At the Masquerade?
Yes.
Dude, that was a freaking phenomenal show, and there was not anybody there. I mean, let's be honest, it was a Sunday night, so it wasn't like a packed house.
Right.
I mean, it was killer, though. And you had Year of the Locust from New York.
Yep.
You had Azrael, who is now Concrete Supergun.
Yep.
And you had somebody else I'm going to forget, even though there's a poster up there with it. And then you had Saving Abel. And, dude, that was like, it was a massive show, but it was also an intimate show. And the one part that sticks out to me was when Saving Abel were on stage, there was a little girl. She was probably 5, 6 on her dad's shoulders over on the far right. She had her headphones on so it wouldn't hurt her ears. He went over there. He shook her hand and was headbanging with her.
Nice.
And it was just like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Because he called everybody. He pulled everybody from the top, pulled everybody and said, I want everybody right here. I want everybody against the stage. And, hell, there was probably maybe 4 rows of people. I mean, it was literally, it was a Sunday night. It was almost midnight. I had to work the next day. It was totally worth it.
Yeah.
It was absolutely worth it.
Always worth it.
And, man, it was just killer. And I was like, this is what I love. Because those big bands, they didn't have to do that. He could have just come up and been like, there's nobody here. Fuck it. I'll just sing. La, la.
Right.
But he didn't.
He made the most of it. He made a new fan. So, you know.
And then he took pictures. I've got pictures with him. I've got pictures with most of the band.
Yeah,
I got
that's
autographs.
Good. That's definitely good. Yeah.
Yeah.
All the things you need to consider. Like, and even as a small band, like, it's important to, like, you know, make those engagements and stuff like that. Because that's going to like, what will, give you the faster result of like getting new fans as possible. Is just making that interaction with them, you know, including them in your journey, making them feel special, because like that's what like what the general public wants when they go to bands. They want to feel like they're a part of their journey and a part of the experience and a part of like the fan family or whatever kind of like, you know, fan base name they have for them and stuff like that. So really that's what they want. So in order to like create that experience that, you know, maybe you have experienced from the larger bands and stuff like that, you know, you just basically got to replicate kind of the things that, you know, you would want from them and do that to your respective fans and stuff like that. So that way they feel more like they're a part of a journey. And that way when you do grow, you know, you are always going to have like that kind of core following of people who will come to your shows and buy your merch and stream your music and be like your de facto street team and stuff like that.
Yeah. So far, any of the shows that I've been to, there's only been one band. There's only been one band who hasn't come out and greeted us, and I'm still salty about it. And that's Fozzy. That's you, Jericho. That's you, man. I've tried to meet you 100 times.
There's the call out.
But no, seriously, though, all these bands are awesome, and they do such a killer job of bringing the audience in and making everybody feel special. And how long did GFM hang out with you? I may cut this, but how long did GFM hang out the last show that, God, it's been forever?
We hung out for a little bit. Like, we hung out before the show, like, when they were, like, after soundcheck and stuff like that, because, like, you know, they're really cool to me and stuff like that. I actually reached out to them to perform that show and everything like that, so that was really cool. I kind of just shot a shot because I had an availability, and it worked out to perfection, basically.
Awesome.
So we hung out for a little bit, and then a little bit after the show, but, like, a lot of times, like, you know, during a show, like, I'll kind of let the artist sort of do their, you know, sort of pregame, sort of, like, you know, get in their zone, get in their mindset or whatever, and then, like, you know, usually after the show, I usually wait until all the fans are done, like, doing their highs and stuff like that, and then I usually take my turn to, like, say, you know,
appreciate you coming out, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because you know, I don't want to be the person who, like, kind of tries and cuts in front of the fans and stuff like that, because obviously, like, me and the band are tight, like, we're going to be talking the next day and, you know, in the future and stuff like that, so so a lot of times I'll kind of, like, sit back and just kind of, like, wait and let the fans kind of do their thing. Sometimes I'm waiting, like, an hour plus, like, kind of for them all go through, but, you know, for the most part, like, but I do try and, like, establish some sort of, like, face-to-face connection, stuff like that, and hopefully, like, you know, the band and I can, like, go get dinner at some point, or, like, I can go to their practice, they can come to my house and stuff like that, and can sort of build, like, that sort of, like, personal relationship with them, because that, you know, again, that's going back to what I was saying earlier, like, that you know, that's sort of, like, the relationships I want to, like, start establishing is just with other musicians so I can help them.
Oh, yeah, definitely, and, you know, y'all know you don't want to be that guy that, you know, snatches the mic as soon as they get off stage. That's right, I brought him here.
Yeah,
it was
no,
me.
I would never, ever do that, but, so, you know, like, hopefully, like, you know, when I know things can be crazy at a show, but, you know, usually I'm in the mindset of, like, all right, well, we can hopefully, like, message and hang out whenever we want. Yeah. So, you know, like, I definitely try and find as much time as, you know, build as much of, like, a memory, you know, or build a connection like them at the show. But hopefully, like, you know, in the future that we can, like, get together and, you know,
build more when
there's a lot less going on and you're less distracted, I'm less distracted and stuff like that.
Yeah, because trying to talk at a show, even, like, between sets, that's just...
It's only about 15, 20 minutes, so you got to get as much, like...
There ain't no lollygagging. What you been up to?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And then, like, you know, as someone who, like, loves shows and respect art and stuff like that, like, I don't try and have conversations, like, between, like, during the sets and stuff like that. Like, I'll be like, you know, maybe, like, really quick, like, questions and answers, or, like, hey, that was really good, or damn, that was a good song, or stuff like that, but not, like... trying to talk about my day or what I've been up to. I'm like, hey, let's talk after the set. Like, I'm down to, like, catch up and everything though. But, like, you know, when musicians are performing, like, you know, that's, like, all attention's on them. Like, because that's just, I don't know, that's just the way I feel like it should be. So.
It should be, yeah, definitely. Well, man, I'm not gonna keep you. I appreciate you coming out here.
Yeah, no,
out,
this was definitely so much fun. I definitely, like, love to, you know, be able to talk and kind of vent and just talk about music and stuff like that, because a lot of times it is, like, you know, the thing that I think about most. So it's definitely good to, like, you know, elaborate and talk about sort of things that are kind of spinning through my mind and see, like, you know, and hopefully, like, you know, the listeners and stuff like that will, you know, kind of hear some of the stuff and, you know, hopefully, like, reach out to me and sort of, you know, hopefully build, like, a good connection, stuff like that. Cause, like, I want to be friends with people. Like, you know, I do have a good number of friends and stuff like that, but you can never have too many friends and too many connections and stuff like that. So, like, I'm open, I'm around, I'm available. Like, I would love to, you know, I love discovering new bands from Georgia and stuff like that, and new bands from, you know, really anywhere and stuff like that. But, you know, the ones from Georgia, like, can definitely be the most, like, connected with and, you know, hopefully provide some information and, like, you know, stuff to help them.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I'll tell the story and then we'll be done.
Yeah, totally.
So when I first started this, that was actually my goal was, so there was a country station. I'm not going to name them. There was a country station that was doing unsigned and independent country artists on Saturday nights. And they would play one song by one band. And then you voted on them on their website, blah, blah. And I was like, dude, that is so cool. Why is nobody doing that from rock and roll and metal? So I got to looking, and I'm like, nowhere is doing this in Atlanta for metal. Nowhere is doing this for rock. No one is sure as hell not doing it for punk.
Right.
So I was like, I should be that market. That should be me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know the funny part? When I first got started, I reached out. I can't tell you how many local Atlanta bands that I reached out to. Again, this is like 2013, 2014. This is early.
Almost 10 years ago.
Yeah, this is early. So, dude, I'm not getting any callbacks. I'm not getting any callbacks. No emails, nothing.
That's strange.
But you know where I was getting callbacks from?
Where?
Everywhere around us.
That's crazy.
Dude, I started off with Washington.
Like D.C. or state?
No, state.
Wow, holy shit.
Like one of my first bands, I'm going to name drop, Sleep Signals.
Cool.
Dude, they were one of my first bands. I was like, oh, sweet.
It's a neat band name. Hell yeah.
Florida, South Carolina. I mean, they were all jumping on board, and Atlanta was just like, nah, man, you got to prove yourself. So I was like, okay, I'll take that challenge.
Right. Challenge accepted.
So now I feel like I've started to make waves in Atlanta of, yeah, you know Wes? You know the Mosh Pit? Yeah. Dude, we ought to do a show. And I just get random, hey, man, when are you free? When are you free? I've got a couch.
Hell yeah. No, that's fucking awesome. Yeah. And I'm glad you sort of like, you know, have sort of taken that sort of like position, everything like that. Cause like, you know, again, like all these are really cool, really cool outlets to like, you know, sort of just like show a different side of yourself and kind of like, you know, talk about things you may not get to talk about on other platforms and stuff like that. Right. So, you know, I will definitely happily send you some new bands and new artists and stuff like that who would be interested in stuff like this. So that way they can sort of do and have a similar experience, or maybe, you know, or maybe some more like, you know, catered to them or whatever. Yeah, yeah. So absolutely.
Gladly. Any of them you want to send them my way. We'll get them in studio.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, I mean, look how much room we've got. We could do an acoustic set right over there.
Oh, that'd be so sick, actually. Yeah.
Good
to know.
When we get done with this, how much time do you have?
Yeah, I got some time.
Okay, cool. I'd love to show you my town.
Cool.
All right, we're out. This is the Mosh Pit.
Man and boy, here she comes.
Mm-hmm.